1 Chronicles chapter number 4 again this evening. There are certain people that stand out in the genealogies. In the book of Genesis, one that stands out in the genealogies readily to all of us is Enoch, because he walked with God and God took him out of the earth and he didn't die a natural human death. But in all the genealogies, there are different ones that stand out for different reasons. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 9, we come to Jabez, who also stands out in the genealogies. And why we give certain attention to different ones and not to others, I'm not sure. Maybe it's our spiritual immaturity that we're fascinated with Enoch because he didn't die a natural death, and we're not have not always been fascinated with Jabez and have not made him a part of our Sunday school lessons for children for years and years. I don't know. But he deserves to be looked at, and he is noteworthy among those that are listed here. When we consider the genealogies, there's name after name after name after name. And to you and I, many of them don't stand out as very significant. But I want us to think about ourselves as we look at the genealogies a little bit. And as we looked at this morning, God has recorded all things and is recording all things and has all things written down. I wonder what your story looks like, where you might be. The Bible itself is completed and will not be recorded in the Bible, but we are recorded in the books of God and in the things of God, and I wonder how it reads. How does it state concerning us? In this passage, we read of one Jabez here, verse number 9 of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. His name literally means grief. How's that for a cloud hanging over your head every day of your life? His name means grief. What a thought. Certainly there was nothing honorable or noteworthy about his existence naturally. In fact, the word honorable there just means that he's significant or outstanding, not necessarily for good. We assume for good, but the basis of that word is just that he was noteworthy or significant for one reason or another. And obviously, at his birth, he was noteworthy and significant for all the wrong reasons, which is our story, naturally speaking. Naturally speaking, we're not significant for any of the right reasons by birth. The Bible says that we're all born in sin, we're but a few days old and full of sin. And so we're significant, but we're significant for all the wrong reasons by birth. But there's one particular reason that Jabez becomes significant in the genealogies, because by birth, he's not significant. We're all a grief when we're born. We're all a problem. We're born liars. We're born sinners. It was said by one that the minute you take something away from a toddler, they go into a fit of rage that would surely be murderous if they had the means, which is true. I mean, they go into a fit of rage that would be nothing short of murder if they had the means. And it's our job as parents to train that out of them. But that's their natural inclination is horrific rage. You know, as we look at what's going on in our world today, there's horrific rage played out in our schools in different places that has to be trained out of children. You know, people say, well, where does that come from? Birth. Birth comes from birth. as we have a sin nature. So none of that really makes Jabez significant. Makes him just like all the rest of us. But what makes Jabez significant is verse number 10. And Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel. Jabez prayed. You say, well, I pray. We all pray. Well, there is something different about Jabez's prayer that I want us to take note of. You know, we've all been in church so long, most of us, we know what to say. We know what to pray. We know what spiritual words are and how to arrange them in a way. We know what to sing. We know what to wear. We know what to do. But let's look at Jabez's prayer. Jabez was not praying something just that he knew he should pray in order to have the success that he desired to have in his life. That's not what happened there. Let's look at Jabez's prayer here in verse number 10. He begins and he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, that God would bless me indeed." And that word "oh" there draws our attention to the feeling that was in his prayer. He really, really desired God's intervention in his life. You know, we say that we want that, but the truth is, most of us really don't want the intervention of God in our lives. We are a do-it-yourself society. We want to do it ourselves, and then we'll have the credit for having done it ourselves. That's the way we are. We want to do something right, and then we want the praise of having done something right. We don't really, most of the time, want help. I have this problem in the kitchen. I love to cook. There's some things I don't know how to cook, and my wife knows it. She shows up. She's like, "What are you making?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm don't worry about it. Leave me alone. What are you making?" You know. And we do it to each other. There's some things I'm better at cooking than she is, and there's some things she's better at cooking than I am, and we're both kind of like trying to watch from the dining room and say, I would turn that down. You know. We don't like help. We don't want help. You say, "Well, I pray all the time." Do you pray with this feeling that Jabez prayed with? "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, that you would really come into my life. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." And then, as a part of this blessing that he asked for, he asked for some certain things. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast." Enlarge my coast. What does that mean? Jabez lived at the time that God's people were just entering into the promised land. They were just entering in there. They were claiming their property. They were staking claim to some things. And to have your coast expanded, there were some physical things to that, but much of that was the fact that he was asking God to bless his family. To not just bless him, but to bless his children and his children's children. That was how your coast expanded. Your people expanded. And your borders expanded. He was asking God for a blessing, a particular blessing on his family. Exodus chapter number 20, if you turn there. Verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Those that turn their back on God, God keeps a genealogy, and it's cursed. A cursed genealogy. But notice verse 6 in that same context, still part of that same sentence there. That sentence ended with a semicolon. So it wasn't finished with that thought. We lead right into verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands. Thousands of generations, I believe, of them that love me and keep my commandments. Jabez had a vision concerning his family. He had a great desire that God would intercede and that God would work in his family. In Genesis chapter number 18, while we're not too far from there, Genesis 18 and verse 18. God is speaking here, and he says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." He had a vision of a kind of promise that was delivered to Abraham. Getting back to the things that Jabez said there, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." And then the next thing that he says, first he said, "That thou may enlarge my coast," and then the next thing is, "That thy hand might be with me." Lord, that your hand would be with me. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, verse 1. "Except the Lord build the house." You know, that goes back to that desire of ours to have credit. In our pride, in our ignorance. Except the Lord be a part of this. Except the Lord do the work, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Jabez prayed, "Lord, that your hand would be with me." The important thing about Jabez's prayer is that Jabez realized he wasn't going to get it done on his own. There were things that he desired for his home. There were things that he desired for his life, and he recognized that he was not the source of it himself. Only God was. Sometimes we pray in a way that is I'll do all that I can, and then if I get in trouble, Lord, help. I'll go to the Lord, and I'll ask him to help me. Jabez realized right up front that he couldn't get there without God. He absolutely could not get there without the Lord. This was his prayer. Everything about Jabez gave credit to the hand of God. As he looked over his life, he gave credit to the hand of God. We sing that song, "Come Thou Fount," and it has a little line in there that a lot of people don't understand. And it says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer." It comes from a story in the Bible when Israel was at war, and they set up this rock, and they called it Ebenezer. And that what that meant was, "Hitherto hath the Lord brought us." To this point, to this place, God is blessed. All along the way, anything that is there that's in my life that is good has been the hand of God. And Jabez really had a hold of that. He didn't just know about it. He didn't just say it because it was the right spiritual, theological thing to say that Baptists say. That's what he believed. It's really what he believed. That thy hand may be with me. We might as well read the rest of Psalm 127 if you're still there. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 128 also speaking about the home, the blessings of the one that comes to the realization that Jabez came to, that he needed the Lord, that he feared the Lord and he needed the Lord. Psalm 128 says, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. When you recognize God to be the controller of all these things, happy shalt thou be. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. This is interesting to take note of. Your trusting in God changes who your wife is. That's what we see there. Thy wife shall be. Because you did this, this is what your wife shall be. Thy children, your faithfulness changes what your children are. Thy children, like olive plants round about thy table. Children, olive trees were everything in their culture. Their source of oil for their lamps, for their cooking, for their food. It was everything to them. Verse 4, behold, that thus shall be, thus shall the man be that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Doesn't that sound good? To be blessed all the days of your life. Doesn't mean there won't be difficulties. Jabez realized that everything that he desired for him and his family were at the hand of God. Everything that he desired them to be. I'm afraid that many times we haven't really even ever thought about and desired our family to be anything, spiritually speaking. We get caught up in busyness and we don't really have a vision. Jabez both had a vision and he understood who the only one that could make that happen was, and that was God. And oh, how he pleaded. He desired spiritual things for his family, and so he went after them with spiritual means. He prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me. Then we see the next thing that he asks, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Oh, he recognized how he needed the Lord in every area of his life. We need to give up the idea that we're some kind of super Christian. Just give that up. The psalmist said, surely every man walketh in a vain show. As we read the Bible, all of the so-called super Christians had super problems too. Just give that up. Certainly ought to be able to give that up in the house of God and be honest and be able to confess to one another. We're not super Christians. He said that thou wouldest keep me from evil. In fact, we're commanded to pray this by the Lord himself in Matthew chapter number 6. If we read the Lord's, his model prayer in Matthew 6. Verse number 9, he said, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, we've heard that so much, but there's a lot being asked for in this prayer. Lord, do your will down here on this planet the same way you do it up there. Oh, that'd be a day, wouldn't it? That God just does down here the way he does up there. That would be quite a day. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. It's not that God tempts us, but He's telling us to pray for a path that doesn't have temptation in it. Lord, today as I try to tread my path, make me go down one that is safe for me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us from it, Lord. Deliver us from it. Here's a man that is praying. He's humble. Here's a man that understands his own frailty. He understands that God is the source of what he needs. This is an acceptable prayer to God. It's not only an acceptable prayer to God, it's an outstanding prayer. And it is listed for us in the genealogies. It is the one thing. Think about that. This prayer is the one thing that set Jabez's whole life and his whole family apart from everybody else in the genealogies. We're not even told Jabez's dad's name or his mother's name like anybody else in there. We don't even know who he is. He's just stuck there in the middle of the genealogies, and we are told that he prayed. And this is the way that he prayed. You want to have an outstanding life? Learn to pray the way Jabez prayed. Learn to call upon God and understand that he is the one that has these things under his control. This is the one thing that makes him outstanding from all the people that are listed around him. And notice, he said back there in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 4, he said, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Oh, the grief of sin. Oh, what grief there is. Oh, what pain there is from sin. But then notice the last part of that verse. And God granted him that which he requested. What a blessing. He prayed for his soul. He prayed for his family. And God granted. This was the thing, the only thing that made Jabez outstanding in all of these genealogies. And oh, we don't know anything else. The only other thing we know of Jabez is in chapter number 2, we find that there's a city named after Jabez where all of the scribes were. Perhaps they were all of his family and all of his descendants that were those that were charged with the writing and rewriting and recording of the scriptures for our benefit. We don't know. That's only speculation. But we don't know anything else about Jabez. But this story was recorded by the scribes, and it was handed down again and again and again and again. Were all of these people in Jabez's prayer closet? How did they know these things? Jabez must have had an outstanding life. God must have answered in such an outstanding way that this story, this account, not just a story, that this account made it into the Word of God, and that it was there, and the people knew about it. And when they read when the Jews read the stories that are in the genealogies in the book of Chronicles, I believe they knew who these people were. And I believe they read, and they knew about Jabez, and they knew about how God had answered prayer in Jabez's life. What a blessing. Oh, that it may be so with us. That we would take and learn a lesson from Jabez. Do you know, you read these things in the Bible, do you read them? And when we read about David, and we read about Solomon, we read about Moses, and we read about Daniel, and we read about all these things, do you say, oh God, that I might be like that? From a little boy, we sang, only a boy named David. And Daniel in the lion's den. Did you ever stop and say, oh Lord, that you might get a hold of me like that? David prayed in the 119th Psalm. He said, Lord, that you would do unto me as thou usest to do unto them that called on your name. Oh, that you would do to me what you did to those people. And those old stories of God's people. Have you had a vision like that? How do you want your story to read? How do you want it to go for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the third and fourth generation? How do you want it to read concerning them? Do you think about it? Do you think about their souls? You know, time flies so fast. I pray for my children. I can't even fathom having grandchildren, but that day is probably coming very fast. I pray for my children, and I've always prayed for the ones God has given me and the ones that are unborn, but it doesn't often cross my mind. Lord, be with my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. You know, many times our world is happening so fast, and we're just in this narcissistic society, and we're focused on us, and we're focused on now, and we're focused on this moment and the task that's before us. But what a vision Jabez had. Lord, expand my coast. Care for all of my relatives. Take care of my children, my great-grandchildren, and just keep working. And just keep expanding them and blessing them and working in their lives. And, oh Lord, keep me from evil. What a prayer. How we need to pray that. Pray that God would give us a vision for what we need. Give us the humility to turn to Him and say, Lord, this is what I need from You in my life, the lives of my children, the lives of my grandchildren. Lord, without Your intervention, we'll be a mess. Lord, without Your intervention, we'll live true to our birth and true to our name. Lord, intervene. Lord, work in our lives, in our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives. Lord, just work in us. Send Your hand with us and work alongside us and work in our hearts and in our lives. Oh, that we would get a vision like what Jabez had. Pray an outstanding prayer that we might have an outstanding life in our walk here on this earth. We'll stop there and have a song and be dismissed in a word of prayer.